Welcome back to Between the Lines. We hope you enjoyed that break, because we're diving back into the depths of Scripture with more enlightening discussions. Join us now as we continue our journey.
And they possessed all the coast of the Amorites, from Arnon even to Jabbok, from the wilderness even unto Jordan. So now the Lord God of Israel hath dispossessed the Amorites from before his people, Israel. And shouldest thou possess it? Wilt not thou possess that which Chemosh thy God giveth thee to possess? So whomsoever the Lord our God shall drive out from before us, them will we possess. So he's just basically telling them, we didn't do it, God did it. Mm-hmm. Go talk to your God if you want it back. And now art thou anything better than Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab? Did he even strive against Israel, or did he ever fight against them? Asking him, did he strive against Israel? Or did God do it? Mm-hmm. Remember, they didn't lose a single man. There were angels involved in that battle. Well, Israel dwelt in Heshbon, and the towns, her towns, and in Aroer, and her towns, and all the cities that are along the coast of Arnon, 300 years. Why, therefore, did ye not recover them within that time? Why you wait so long? Mm-hmm. You think we're weak now. Now is your opportunity. I know. We don't have our acts together anymore. He's not saying this to him, but
right.
I can tell, I can see why you're doing it now. Wherefore I have not sinned against thee, but thou dost me wrong to war against me. The Lord, the judge, be judged this day between the children of Israel and the children of Ammon. Howbeit the king of the children of Ammon hearkened not unto the words of Jephthah, which he sent him. Yeah. I hear you, buddy. But we're coming in. We're going to take the land. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah, and he passed over Gilead and Manasseh, and passed over Mizpah of Gilead, and from Mizpah of Gilead he passed over unto the children of Ammon. Jephthah vowed a vow unto the Lord. Oh, this one's difficult. Be careful what you vow to God.
Oh, yeah.
God, the Bible says, do not make a vow to God unless you plan on keeping it. It's better not to do it. Tell him you're going to do things. Don't vow to him. Because you might have absolute perfect intentions. It could be devastating. As good as Jephthah was, his mind wasn't as strong as it should be. God says, I'm going to do this for you. Why? Why? Put a carnal vow on it. Mm-hmm. Why rack up the deck?
Yeah, you don't have to put a stipulation on it.
Yes.
Because God didn't do it.
No, God already said, I'm going to do this for you.
Right.
Why give God a reward? And Jephthah vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, if thou shall without fail deliver the children of Ammon into my hand. If we win this battle, Lord, and it shall be that whatsoever cometh forth of the doors of my house to meet me, when I return in peace from the children of Ammon, surely shall be the Lord's, and I will offer it up for a burnt offering. What kind of heart would say something like that? I'll tell you what kind. A polluted kind. These people, these Israelites, God said, clear the land. Because those who were living in the land were the seed of the serpent. Not that God had anything against them other than they were the seed of the serpent. He was actually working with them. Just like he told Cain, the first seed of the serpent. When Cain's offering was not chosen. God said, what's wrong, Cain? Why are you so angry? Didn't you know there's redemption even for you? Even though you are of that seed, all you have to do is follow me with all your heart. We got Jephthah here, he's mixed. We're all mixed now. But they've been in the land here 150 years now. 200 years. And they're mixing. It's like Joshua said, don't mix with them. Yeah, you let them stay, that was bad enough. Moses was here, you guys be wiped out. You let them stay, just don't mix with them. Maybe they'll die out. Jephthah obviously has the seed of the serpent in his line. Because sacrificing a human being is contrary to God's law. He says, whatever comes out of my door when I return, I'll sacrifice to you as a burnt offering. God took no pleasure in that offering. The destruction of Japheth and him and his soul is what it amounted to, just because he made a foolish promise to God. Christian, don't promise to God, because he will expect you to keep your promise, because he keeps all of his. So Japheth passed over unto the children of Ammon to fight against them, and the Lord delivered them into his hand. And he smote them from Aor, even till thou comest to Minnith, even 20 cities, and unto the plain of the vineyards, with a great, great slaughter. Thus the children of Ammon were subdued before the children of Israel. And Japheth came to Mizpeh unto his house, and behold, his daughter came out to meet him with timbrels and with dances, and she was his only child. Beside her had neither son nor daughter. His only child comes out of his door. Was he hoping the wife that he didn't like would come out the door? Was that what the vow was about, Jonathan? Who knows? What kind of man who obviously knows the history and follows God makes a vow like that? The foolish heart, the little seed of the serpent inside you, the little devil on one side and the angel on the other, whispering things into your ear, and he whispered and he listened. So his little daughter comes running out. She's a teenager. And he knows. Instantly, he is messed up. Came to pass when he saw her that he rent his clothes and said, alas, my daughter, thou hast brought me very low, and thou art one of them that trouble me. For I've opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot go back. Be careful what you vow to God. And he knew it. I have opened my mouth unto the Lord. Why was that not my wife that came out? I'm just speculating and having a little fun here, but it's a tragic situation. But who could possibly have come out of his door that he was willing to sacrifice? It wasn't her. And she said unto him, my father, if thou hast opened thy mouth unto the Lord, do to me according to that which hath proceeded out of thy mouth. For as much as the Lord hath taken vengeance for thee of thine enemies, even the children of Ammon. And is this the influence of the foreign gods that they have been living under? They're used to sacrificing their children now. Mm-hmm. They do it for Ashtaroth and Baal. Yep. And it's all around them. Yep. I mean, this Japheth is raised up to be a judge to try to get rid of that stuff. So his daughter said, whatever it is, father, you're my father, keep your vow. She said unto her father, let this thing be done for me. Let me alone 2 months, that I may go up and down upon the mountains and bewail my virginity, I and my fellows. Let me go enjoy the fleshly comforts of my body. None of them are very close to God's laws at this time. It's like the, what's his name? Woman threw the millstone down on his head. He says to his armor bearer, take your sword and kill me. I don't want him saying that a woman killed me. Yes. She says, let me go and lose my virginity before you kill me. And he said, go. And he sent her away for 2 months. And she went into her companions and bewailed her virginity on the mountains. Came to pass at the end of the 2 months that she returned unto her father, who did with her according to his vow which he had vowed. And she knew no man. Ah, so what does that mean? Bewailed her virginity. She knew no man. And it was a custom in Israel that the daughters of Israel went yearly to lament the daughter of Japheth, the Gileadite, 4 days in a year. God was not pleased with that sacrifice. God was not there for that sacrifice. Had Japheth got down on his knees and begged forgiveness, God would have allowed him to not give that sacrifice. They're mixed the Almighty God with these other gods, and their sacrifices of humans so much it's commonplace now. That's half of what's in their mind. It's like the Christian that can't turn loose of the law. Which one is more important? Keeping the Sabbath? Keeping certain holy holidays? Or doing what Christ says? As I told you, if you must keep the law, the Bible says you keep one tittle of the law, you must keep it all. And if you have accepted Christ's sacrifice and you continue to keep the law, you're telling Jesus Christ it just wasn't good enough. I know what you did, Christ. Messiah and all that stuff. Came, took away all my sins through your horrible torture, hanging on the cross, going to hell, defeating Satan. But just wasn't enough. If you could have just give me some things I had to do with my hands so I could feel more holy, so my neighbors could see me doing them. You know, he said, follow me with all your heart and be baptized. Let your neighbors see you get baptized. It's more important than keeping Sunday holy. It's not even the Sabbath. Chapter 12, Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible with David and Jonathan on WVFF 97.7. Glad you could be here with us today. God's amazing manuscript full of truth. The guidebook to the eternal life, the real life, the one to come. The one you're enjoying now is a test. It's the pre-life. You got 70 years maybe, 80, 90 if you're really unlucky. Maybe 30, maybe 16. You don't know. But it's a testing ground to prove to him that you can follow him with your heart, so that you can take part in the real life to come. Don't ever get confused and think this is it. This is just the precursor to forever. Chapter 12, Book of Judges. And the men of Ephraim gathered themselves together and went northward, and said unto Jephthah, wherefore passest thou over to fight against the children of Ammon? Didst not call us to go with thee? We will burn thine house upon thee with fire. Oh, so they didn't get to take part in God's great rout.
Yet, going against another person who just saved them.
Yep. But Jephthah and all them, they got a lot of glory for doing that. Yep. And these guys who knew about it and just stayed home, seeing what happens. They're going to blame them now. Why didn't you call us? Mm-hmm. Oh, didn't you know? Oh, how could we know? We live 14 miles that way.
Yeah.
We're going to come burn your houses down now. Jephthah said unto them, I and my people were at great strife with the people of Ammon. When I called you, you delivered me not out of their hands. I called you, buddy. Mm-hmm. I got the telegram right here, a copy of it.
Yeah.
We know you got it. I got some spies over in your village. Said you guys had a town council meeting. Then no, we ain't going. When I saw that ye delivered me not, I put my life in my hands, and I passed over against the children of Ammon, and the Lord delivered them unto my hand. Wherefore then are ye come up unto me this day to fight against me? Then Jephthah gathered together all the men of Gilead and fought with Ephraim. And the men of Gilead smote Ephraim, because they said, ye Gileadites are fugitives of Ephraim, among the Ephraimites and among the Manassites. The Gileadites took the passage of Jordan before the Ephraimites, and it was so that when those Ephraimites which were escaped said, let me go over, that the men of Gilead said unto them, thou art an Ephraimite. If he say nay, then say unto him, say, now Shibboleth. And he said Shibboleth, for he could not frame to pronounce it right. So they have grown so distant in the last 200 years that their language is beginning to despair. Just like we got those supposedly English speaking folks up in Boston that you can't understand.
Yeah.
They said, oh no, you know, and they're calling each other by tribe now, not us. We're not us anymore. They were always a tribe of us. Now we're tribes. You don't belong to us. Yeah, we do. All right, say this, say car. Ka.
Ka.
Ka. Say it again. Car. Ha!
You can't.
No, you're not. You're from Boston, buddy. Don't even try it. You're not coming. And he took him and they slew him at the passage of the Jordan. And there fell at that time of the Ephraimites 42,000 civil war. Could you imagine when you got a judge of Israel vowing to God that he'll sacrifice his daughter and going to and doing it, giving her as a burnt sacrifice? You know, God can deliver you. But what you do after that, what he does after that, what you do can bring on cursing to you and punishment. And that's exactly what's happened. And Jephthah judged Israel 6 years, then died Jephthah the Gileadite, and was buried in one of the cities of Gilead. And after him, Ibzan of Bethlehem judged Israel. He had 30 sons and 30 daughters, busy fellow, whom he sent abroad and took in 30 daughters from abroad for his sons. Ooh. What did they say? What did Moses tell them? Mm-hmm. You don't mix with these people. He just brought in 30 mail order brides from who knows where. And he sent his daughters abroad. And he judged Israel 7 years. Then died Ibzan and was buried at Bethlehem. And after him, Elon, the Zebulunite, judged Israel. And he judged Israel 10 years. And Elon the Zebulunite died and was buried in Aijalon in the country of Zebulun. And after him, Abdon, son of Hillel, the Pirathonite, judged Israel. Pirathonite. And he had 40 sons and 30 nephews that rode on 70 ass colts. He judged Israel 8 years. And Abdon, the son of Hillel, the Pirathonite, died and was buried in Pirathon, the land of Ephraim, in the mount of the Amalekites. Chapter 13, Book of Judges. Between the Lines with David and Jonathan on WVFF 97.7. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. How many chapters in Judges starts like that?
That's right. I was going to say, we could just make a little bumper where you just push the button every time you start a new chapter.
I feel like putting that on a bumper sticker on my car. Right. The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. There was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of Danites. And you'll notice that every one of these tribes gets a judge. A judge from every tribe eventually takes control. Now we got Dan, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold, now thou art barren and bearest not. Thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Oh, this is one of the most fantastical stories in the book of Judges. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. God is raising up a champion here, because you see the last four judges were just barely able to do God's will. And as soon as God's will was done, they were all over the place. That's why God has brought such horrible cataclysm on them. 40 years the Philistines have had them in bondage because of what the last judge has done. For though thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head, but the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb. He shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. I know you've heard these before. This is Samson. He's coming out. Pay attention to all of this. He's going to be a Nazarite. No razor shall come on his head. His mother's not to drink any strong drink while he's in the womb. And the woman came and told her husband, saying, A man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God. Very terrible. That word there, terrible, mm-hmm. goes back to impressive. Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
All.
In awe. Shiny. Impressive. Right. An angel. But I asked him not whence he was, neither told he me his name. But he said unto me, Behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and now drink no wine nor strong drink, neither it eat any unclean thing, for the children shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb, to the day of his death. Well, not so much, but he made a good effort at it. Then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, O my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again unto us, and teach us what we shall do unto the child that we shall be born. Because they didn't know God's statutes anymore. They don't even know what a Nazarite is. Mm-hmm. Had they done what Moses said, teach your children all these statutes. Was it once every three? Was it 3 years or 7 years? Call the entire congregation together and read the entire law.
Yep.
You'll see here in another 50 years, the priesthood finds the book of the law in their tent and says, "Oh, look, sire, look what we found, this ancient manuscript. What is it? Oh my gosh, God's law?"
Yeah. You mean the Mattel manual was wrong?
Yeah, how could you priests not know about this? Nobody told us about it. The priests of God don't even know. And God hearkened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came again unto the woman as she sat in the field, but Manoah, her husband, was not with her. The woman made haste and ran and showed her husband, and he said unto him, Behold, the man hath appeared unto me that came unto me the other day. And Manoah rose and went after his wife and came to the man and said unto him, Art thou the man that speakest unto the woman? He said, I am. And Manoah said, Now let thy words come to pass. How shall we order the child, and how shall we do unto him? The angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, Of all that I said unto the woman, let her beware. Take note. Mm-hmm. King James has certain ways of throwing you off. Let her take note of what I said. She may not eat of anything that cometh of the vine, neither let her drink wine or strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. All that I commanded her, let her observe. Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, I pray thee, let us detain thee until we shall have made ready a kid for thee. The angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, Though thou detain me, I will not eat of thy bread. If thou wilt offer a burnt offering, thou must offer it unto the Lord. For Manoah knew not that he was an angel of the Lord.
An actual angel of the Lord, because yes. He went out of his way to say, hey, don't do oblation to me.
Absolutely. No yeah. big capital A there, yeah. and no forgotten capital A there.
Right.
This was an angel, a messenger, probably Gabriel. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, What is thy name? Let's see what his name is. What is the name of the angel of the Lord? What is thy name? That when thy sayings come to pass, we may do thee honor. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, Why askest thus after my name, seeing it is secret? Mm-hmm. So Manoah took a kid, a meat offering, and offered it up on a rock unto the Lord. And the angel did wondrously. And Manoah and his wife looked on. For it came to pass when the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar, and Manoah and his wife looked on it and fell on their faces to the ground. The angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and his wife. Then Manoah knew that he was an angel of the Lord. Manoah said unto his wife, We shall surely die because we have seen God. They're so far from what their fathers knew. It's like when God came down to the foot of the mountain, all the Israelites, you know, and Moses put up the caution tape. God said, don't let them come any closer. Uh-huh. They all came right up to the caution tape. God came down, they took off running.
Yeah. Oh, let's not see him. Yeah. Let him talk to you.
We want to see him. No, run away.
Yeah, you can see him. We don't want to see him.
Well, he says, oh, we've seen God. We're going to die now. Somebody must be telling that story that Moses, let me see you. And God said, no, it will kill you. Mm-hmm. They must be still telling that one. But his wife said unto him, If the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received a burnt offering and a meat offering at our hands, neither would he have showed us all these things, nor would as at this time have told us such things as thee. What do we say about the masculine in the men of Israel? They've lost their place. They have no leadership. They don't know how to rule a family. They don't know the statutes of God. They don't know God. And there again, a woman is setting him straight. Mm-hmm. No, we're not going to die. God just came and said, I'm going to have a child. He accepted our offering. Yeah.
If he wanted to kill us, he would have just done it.
Yeah. You foolish old man. Get in there and read the law. And the woman bare a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew and the Lord blessed him. The Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. You've been with David and Jonathan on Between the Lines in the book of Judges, WVFF 97.7. Been a pleasure to be here with you today. The book of Judges, fascinating reading. You can read it dozens of times and you'll get something every time you read it. Little things that you missed. It's essential reading, especially before you read the law. You start the Bible, don't start at the beginning, go all the way to the end. You'll bog down in Leviticus and Exodus, Deuteronomy. Read all the storylines and the New Testament. And go back and read bits of the law, and then bits of the other parts, and then bits of the law again, until you've completed the entire law. Once you have it all in you, you won't mind reading the law then, because you'll be able to open up to the law and give a sermon from any point of it, because you have it inside you. You got to read God's words. You got to read it out loud. Let it go in your ears. Absorb it. And every time you'll read it, God says, I will give you something. Been a pleasure to be with you on WVFF 97.7 with David and Jonathan on Between the Lines. And we'll catch you next time.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Between the Lines. We hope you've gained a deeper understanding of God's Word and strengthened your faith in Jesus. Tune in again for more spiritual discoveries, 3 p.m. daily with David and Jonathan. Exclusively here on Veterans for Freedom Radio, the Truth in Broadcasting Corporation.